Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Over the years, we've developed the reputation of the name you can trust in this industry, folks. Coins Plus, I know a few of you are experts in our business. I was just talking to a guy, a gun dealer, and another friend of mine that does watches, and all the way from Miami, Oklahoma, Kansas, these people are using our services. These are major dealers. They're selling us stuff. They're buying from us because of our honesty, integrity, and professionalism, which has been our motto for 20 plus years. So I know it's a little, maybe slightly braggadocious, tooting my horn a little bit, and I don't intend in any way to come across arrogant or self-righteous. I'm just telling you what our philosophies are. We're a Christian-owned and operated business. That is a very, very important part of who we are. This may make no sense to many of you, but I've been in business 25 years. I've never had any legal action, never sued, never threatened to be sued, nothing like that. Now, knock on wood, no. But, I mean, that for a business, I have an attorney. This is, here we go, down rabbit trail number one. I have an attorney who's not a believer, and years back I started using him. I got referred to him, and we had a situation on a construction project we did where a supposed Christian builder and his wife took us to the cleaners pretty bad. It was supposed to be time and materials, and they were billing me. They were supposed to give me bills every month of what I was paying, and they wouldn't, and they'd say I owed money, and it just kept getting higher and higher and higher, but they'd never prove it. And my son went to school with their son, and I didn't want to create waves. You know how that goes. And I let it continue, and then there was a bunch of tile stuff. We used this slate tile when it was really hot, and the company we bought it from, Emser, said, you absolutely have to use impregnating sealer. So I, and the builder was with me when we picked up the tile, and he decided he didn't like the company, and he had some other guy talk him into a different sealer. And that winter, the tile blew up. Literally, they call it spalling. Slate just comes apart in layers, and it just exploded. 4,000 square feet of tile. And I kept calling the guy, and he said, we'll deal with it in the spring. I can't do anything now. So spring came, and he kept putting me off. And then all of a sudden, he tried to say, well, your one-year warranty is up, which is a requirement of the state of Washington. So we were going back and forth by email, and I was like, that's not how it works. We notified you of the problem before the 1 year, and then eventually he has his attorney respond to me. So I had to have my attorney respond to him, and it turned out, which was foolish of them, because at first the guy said he didn't have money, even though he had a $600,000 free and clear house and a number of other things. And my first offer to him when he said he doesn't have money is I said, okay. I mean, the tile work was at the time, like $40,000. And I said, okay, fine. You come and tear it out, and I'll take care of the rest. Well, he said no. And then when the attorneys got involved, my attorney said, okay, you're going to pay the $38,000 whatever dollars to replace it. He said no. And then it went on and on like this. So then we got into discovery, which is just blows my mind. When they started to do discovery, where that's where they just start to request documents and proof and all this stuff, because he hadn't proven all the costs to me, it turns out, whenever he'd go to the store and buy all this plywood and all this stuff for my job, he would buy a bunch extra, and he was building he built a small house for his brother-in-law, and he was charging me, and I guess it shows my foolishness at the time, but he would put it on my bill, and then he built this house, the majority of this house, on my bill, which is a no-no, in case you can't figure that out. And so during discovery, all this came out, and when we finally ended up, he had some general liability insurance that was trying to figure out if they had liability or not. And then he started with his original family attorney, and his attorney had run into my attorney on the street one day, or no, ran into him on the street one day and said, "Hey, how'd that deal with the Walters ever come out?" And he said, "Oh, it's still going on." And so it started with his family attorney, then it flipped to this general liability and attorney who was milking the system, just milking this insurance company, you know, just depositions and dragging it out for years just to make money. The guy was named Todd Startzel, was the attorney. I would tell you, if you're in Spokane, don't ever use that guy. He was very unethical and incredibly harsh and rude and vulgar and everything else. And I'm not one to usually throw names around, but don't use the guy. Anyway, so his family attorney ran into him and said, how'd that ever turn out? It'd been a couple years. And he said, "Well, it's still going on." And his family attorney said, "What? You're crazy. You could lose your house." His family attorney, you know, explained to him again, apparently, that he was at fault. I mean, and so we ended up going to arbitration with a judge. And my first offer, remember, was for him to just come out with elbow grease. If you don't know what that means, that's hard labor. And just tear up the old tile, and I take care of the rest. By the time we settled, it was well over $100,000. Because during discovery, we found out that they'd been absconding all this money. These were Christian people. And it's just pure foolishness, you know, that's the only legal situation I've really ever been in, other than when I worked for the bank and I used to handle a lot of legal stuff. But, you know, the bottom line is we've always been honest and full of integrity, probably too trusting. There's so much in this industry that is iffy, and I tell you this stuff and then people get nervous about the industry as a whole. You're dealing with a lot of money, and we honesty, integrity, and professionalism. You come in and you buy and you get with us, okay? We, first of all, I have got the most phenomenal inventory available. One of the largest, the single largest retailer of collectible coins in the nation. They specialize in all kinds of stuff. They have 400 employees. They contact me for massive quantities of, you know, if they want 3,000 1909 VDB pennies or something like that, they'll call me, you know. So we have just this tremendous inventory. We hand select the coins and, metals that we put into your portfolio. Portfolio building is our expertise. And we have tons and tons of coins, a lot. But we don't just sell you stuff. We sell you stuff that we know will perform, that has a long term, and I'm talking, you know, 50, 60 year record of continuous increases or flatline. I mention a lot Carson City dollars. I love them. Their money in the bank. We have, you know, a limitation on them. People come in and they'll listen to the show and they want substantial quantities of them. And I don't have them all in stock. All I have is, you know, I can sell what I've got. Better Day Morgans. I love Morgans. Everyone knows that. I grew up in Montana. It's the Morgan Silver Dollar capital of the world. I've handled over 2 million Morgan Silver Dollars in my career. And they're kind of a staple product. Of course, gold and silver is always the base of every investment portfolio. $20 gold pieces, I've discussed how difficult those are to get, but what a great investment they are. We just had one client that spent about $175,000 on them, and getting them it was difficult. And that's $175,000 in the whole U.S. I mean, they're out. They're tough. They're tight. The pricing on them is super close to the bullion price of an American gold eagle. All the numismatic gold or semi-numismatic, you know, $5 Indians, $2.5 Indians, $10 Indians, $10 Liberties, all this stuff. It's just good to have. Right now, I got into this business professionally. I started in coins younger, much younger. My first memory is at about a year and a half old getting my first coin. But I know coins well. I've monitored them over the years. We build good portfolios for people. We sell quality coins. Problem-free original coins is very important. And I said that's one thing that we put in a portfolio. Some people will go with a substantial quantity, some with less. A lot of people have a lot of faith in gold and silver just because, as I've mentioned multiple times, the only things that are biblically attributed is true wealth. Gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones. Last show, I went over the complications. Precious stones, to liquidate precious stones is very difficult. There's a guy that runs around town, and he cons people into buying hundreds of thousands of dollars of, you know, Ceylon sapphires and things like this. Liquidating them is just it's just difficult, you know, and so we sell them by the bag in a lot of cases, and we've bought, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of like I always say, we buy scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, quality diamonds, actually. When you get a used piece of jewelry, the desire just doesn't exist for it. If we get an antique piece or something, and we'll pay more, or a Tiffany's piece, we'll pay way more. But that kind of stuff has a demand, but the rest of it just does not. So we'll melt the gold down and remove the stones, and we save the stones. We got tons of precious stones, tons. I mean, we can sell you bags of incredible stones, just cheap, you know, like a dollar a carat or something like that. I don't know if exactly what that is. Maybe it's $10 a carat. It's just so inexpensive, and there's every kind of gemstone you can imagine in there. We just had one guy buy 5,000 carats of them. An investor from the radio show thought it was pretty cool, and he's right. I mean, if he wants to, well, he's a guy that's going to sell them off individually on eBay. He'll make so much money on that, it's not even funny. But basically, when you get to the basics, gold and silver are money, always have been. God said they were. It's where you need to be. We've talked about it. We're in the loop of hyperinflation right now. We have, I really, folks, I'm not, I have a grasp of history. I'm not the greatest expert. But I can tell you that I believe there's never been a time when there's been such A, vitriol against our president, and B, such a powerful movement towards socialism. We've got the Democrats have taken over the House. They're stalling on. I mean, no matter what Trump wants to do, they're against it. Even if it was something they wanted to do, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, there, if it's Trump's idea, they're against it. And so we're living in a country that's very divided, very fractured, very wounded. You know, as Christ's own word said, a house divided among itself will fall. And quite frankly, America's a house. We're a family. We're the greatest country in the history of the world. The question is, will we last? And you know, I wish I could give you a definitive answer to that, but it's a question that goes through my mind, because no country who started down this road turns around. However, no country who started down this road, you know, that I'm going to take that back. I'm going to say Israel is the exception to the rule. Israel has had some wonderful turnarounds, but it always comes with extreme punishment or discipline from the Lord. And I'm just, you know, I know our country needs that. I'm afraid of it. Not that I fear you know, I have the power of the Lord. God will carry us through and protect us righteous. And it's so important that you understand that your heart condition is what God cares about. And I'll be honest with you, folks. When it, you know, to you men, when it says, wives, submit to your husbands, okay, that level of submission is like the level of submission of a subordinate in the military, okay? The commanding officer doesn't have a right to verbally abuse his subordinates, especially to ever physically abuse them, to belittle them, mock them, whatever. And in Ephesians 4:29, it tells us to let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. We've all done that, so we'll check one. But that everything should edify those that hear. I'm going to tell you, I'm the first one that, you know, I grew up in Montana. I've got a pretty assertive speech pattern. When I was in banking, I was always kind of on the cutting edge of debate with the office, with the main office, until they made me regional manager, about, you know, their, you know, decisions and credit, you know, whatever. I've always been willing to be assertive. So it's very important that you're an assertive person, but you can do it diplomatically and glorifying to the Lord. So remember that. Okay, I'm going to buzz through this real quick, and then I'll get to my basic concepts for the show. Coins Plus, obviously, is constantly involved in the purchase and sale of gold and silver. We deal in rare coins. Do not let that fear you. People get afraid of them. And there's a couple reasons you get afraid. For years, before I was on the radio, and which has been a good decade or better now, Goldline had, what was it called? The American Advisor with Joe Battaglia. And they'd always be selling this or that. And, you know, proof foreign gold or whatever it was. They always had a specific pitch, which is wise in business. A specific item, you know, and but they always charged a minimum of double. I saw people, and again, please don't hold this against me. Don't throw me in that pool. Don't consider me part of that. But I saw situations where they would roll or flip people four or five times. The people would start out with $125,000, and when Goldline got done with their fifth, you know, flip, they'd be down to $12,000. We never, ever, ever, ever have done that. It is absolutely mandatory that you hear this. Not one employee here is on any form of commission. They have no incentive. Do you understand? No incentive to be unethical in profit. They have no incentive to maximize profit. Their incentive is to treat you properly, and we win when you win. That's the way I see it. If you're making money and we're treating you fine, and you've got a nice portfolio of wealth and capital preservation, that's our goal. Okay, so that's our desire, is that you are covered for the hard times that absolutely lie ahead. I mean, I understand now all of a sudden, you know, the Democrats are claiming, you know, Armageddon or apocalyptic, you know, based on climate change and all this stuff. Climate change is real. You may not want to hear that, but it doesn't mean it's our fault. Cutting down the rainforest, I think I heard from recently from an expert that they cut down, you know, X number, like a million acres a day or just something ridiculous. That, and of course, the rainforests in the Amazon, they turn carbon dioxide into oxygen. And so that is a problem. However, as a whole, the way God created the Earth, which is the absolute most magnificent planet on around that I know of, I can't imagine one more amazing. You watch a movie like Avatar, which is kind of fun because they show other planets, and with, you know, a lot of these movies now will have these planets where they'll have multiple suns and multiple moons. I studied a lot of that in college. The problem with that is you have to have what's called a Lagrange point In other words, if you have suns and moons and whatever, they have gravitational pull. And there's only certain spots, okay, so if you have multiple suns, say two suns revolving around each other, a binary solar system, which there's many, many in the universe, there's only a point where a planet can survive, and that's at the Lagrange point, right between the two. Otherwise, the way they turn, they'll suck the planets in. So when you see a lot of these cool pictures online, or not online, but like in movies of, you know, all these extra planets and around them and moons, the gravitational situation will not allow for it. In other words, it just won't. You'll just, there's too much that you're not gravitationally balanced. There are suns like Sirius and I can't remember the other, the huge one. That there's one sun or star, we'll call it. I almost had the name. They estimate has 2,400 satellites. Okay, this is the our sun has, you know, 10. You know, you go Mars, whatever it is, Earth. It doesn't go like that, does it? Mercury, Venus, Mars, Earth, Jupiter. You know, there's Uranus, Saturn. I don't have them all memorized in the right order. Neptune, Pluto. And so we have about nine satellites, including the asteroid belt, which I firmly believe is the destruction of Lucifer's original habitation. And there's a possibility that Mars was the moon of that planet. There's a lot of evidence of that, especially when you look at the area of Cydonia, where there's multiple pyramids, two-sided, three-sided, four-sided, five-sided, all laid out with the big human, half-human and half-lion face, etc. But when you have a planet that, or a star that has 2,400 satellites, there's possibility of other life out there. It's important to understand, no matter what, you know, Christians get weird about this stuff. They're like, there can't be other life, we're it. Well, why? No, it said that Jesus came to die once for the human race. He sacrificed for us once. Okay, that doesn't mean that God creates, humans create. Look what we create, right? Well, God creates, so I believe many planets could have life on them. However, there's a lot of recent science that shows that we're actually not only in the center of the solar system, but also have the best view of the solar system and so on. The distance of a lot of the planets is as much as 4 billion light years away. People say, oh, 6,000-year Earth. Well, 6,000 years with man on it, because we measure time by what? We measure time by the revolution of our planet around the sun, and the revolution of the planet itself. So one revolution is a year, you know, one revolution of the Earth is a day, revolution around the sun's a year, etc. So, you know, that's how we measure time. So you can't measure the time of the universe by the time of the Earth. And I think it's important to understand that, because people confuse that, and you're not physicists, astrophysicists, or astronomical experts. I understand that, but the 6,000-year Earth theory does not have to exist. Big Bang or let there be light, same thing, right? God says, boom, let there be light, or He creates the universe by His speech. The Big Bang, call it whatever you want. It's the same thing. It's the creation of everything from nothing. It is the power of the speech of God. God has an incredible amount of authority. We recently, in one of the shows here, recently discussed the power of authority of Jesus when He spoke with authority. I read Isaiah 61 and then Luke 4, when Jesus read from Isaiah 61, and he spoke, it said, with the authority of God. He spoke with the authority of God, because who was he? God. So that's who we worship. That's who we're fortunate enough to know. We have other religions that are satanic. We've got the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings as our Savior. Praise God Almighty. What a blessing. I mean, I can't even fathom otherwise. We're so fortunate, especially you, the listeners. You've got to understand that. I think it was like Gandhi who said, I believed in the Christ like a Christian, and I believed in heaven and hell, he said, I would crawl across glass to make sure that people did not go to hell, because, you know, it's such a hideous concept. But Christians, we don't do that. We get caught up in our lives, especially in America. We've got cults, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses and things that'll bang on your door. They're out working the system, and we're not. So remember that. Be a, lifestyle witness. Share your faith, but let your actions do the talking. Anybody who's in business as a Christian, anybody who's listening, honesty, integrity, professionalism, and turn it over to God. Trust God. My wife and I, when we were young and out of college, we lived in poverty housing. Everyone around us was on welfare. We had a lady banging on the door trying to give us food stamps. My wife was like, she says, we qualify. I said, I don't care. I'm going to pray hard and work hard. And if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. If he doesn't, he won't. And that's the way we need to live our lives. Deuteronomy tells us clearly that God gives us the power to earn money. That's a gift from God. It's because we create. He created money. Gold, as I've said, is the only element that is absolutely resistant to the second law of thermodynamics, which is entropy, which is that everything is constantly changing to a state of lower form. In other words, everything's turning to dust, but not gold. That's why God made it money. It's the most molecularly, the molecular matrix of gold is so perfect that it's infinitely divisible down to two molecules, okay? God did that on purpose. There's no limit to which you can split it up. So when people say, oh, we're on the Federal Reserve System because there's not enough gold to go around, baloney. You can fractalize it to the whatever level you want. We've seen it. It's like saying, well, we can't evaluate real estate because there's only a fixed amount of it. Well, the price of it just goes up. And I can tell you now, we sold some waterfront property. Right now on Lake Coeur d'Alene, properties are going just bonkers. The prices people are asking are nuts. I would not in any way recommend to anyone to be investing in real estate now. There will be a bubble correction, and you will be buried for a while. It may be a long while. So that's just my advice and my opinion. You want to buy solid stuff. I've got some, different things I'm selling off that are substantial. I'm going to have, some pretty sizable amounts of money. I was talking to a friend of mine. He's like, well, why don't you buy commercial real estate? I said, equity firms came in a couple years ago and bought up commercial real estate to such an extent they lowered it to what's called a 4% cap cost. That means that if you buy commercial real estate, they want a price that will only yield you a 4% return on your money. That is crazy. Why? You got to maintain it. You got to handle tenants. You know, it's an active investment. It used to be that commercial real estate, any income real estate had to produce a minimum of 10%, usually 12%, before you'd even look at it. So if anyone's thinking about getting into investment real estate now, do not. You will regret it. You will get burned. Just wait. The market will calm down and opportunities will arise. In the meantime, like I said, I'll be coming across some of myself. I have a spectacular coin collection. I have a nice sizable nest egg of gold, silver, and, you know, semi-numismatic, silver dollars. If you want to buy silver in a really cool form that's barterable, tradable, exchangeable, recognizable, and has been around forever and has an incredible track record, go with Silver Morgan and Peace Silver Dollars. I'm going to plug in here real quick. I always do this last second of the show. We have a deal where if you give us a 5-star review on Google, based on a business experience, and call us, we'll give you a nice Morgan Silver Dollar, old one, pre-O-100, or a 1-ounce silver coin. If you do 3 reviews, you know, like Google, Bing, Yahoo, Yelp, whatever, do 3, and we'll give you 2 silver coins or 2 silver Morgans. But the way the deal works is after you do it, you have to call us. We've had people email and say, well, I did this and I never got my coin. Well, we don't know. We don't know if you're a radio show listener or what. We don't know who you are. So if you do it, call. We'll pick it up. We'll verify it, and then we'll send you the stuff. This is a special that only applies to radio show listeners, okay? So just make the call after you do the reviews, and we will take care of you. So along those lines, we're talking about the heart, we're talking about strength, we're talking about speech. There's a lot of different scriptures out there that, you know, tell us about speaking life and death, and there's just quite a few. And I'm gonna hit some scriptures, and then we're gonna talk a little bit about the combination of the power of positive thinking, positive speech. This does come from God. He's the author of it. Just because man's picked it up in a secular way doesn't mean it doesn't apply to us. Everything good comes from the Lord. And so many people will reject or repel anything that is really maximizing to their human condition if they don't think it's biblical. But remember, God said, you know, many, many things about our speech and our thought patterns and our thought process. It's just his nature. There is no scripture, okay, that tells us to remember the bad, okay? Every scripture tells us to remember the good. He even when they crossed the Jordan, I was reading in Joshua 4 the other day, where he had them put out memorial stones, okay? Why is that? Because we have to remember all the great and phenomenal miracles that God has done for us, okay? So, you know, there's like the book of Deuteronomy. It says you have a choice. You know, choose life or choose death. Here's Deuteronomy 30. I don't know if this is it, but this is good scripture probably. All scripture is good. So it says, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land, and you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. He says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now, he says, choose life so that you and your children may live. and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to you, your fathers, blah, blah, blah. So every one of us is a child of God, okay? Now, we sit and look. God, you are made in the image of the living and holy God, okay? So you might be overweight, or you might be you might think you're unattractive, or you look in the mirror and you say, man, I'm ugly, or, you know, I'm really bad at that, or I could never do that, or people are far more talented than me. Don't talk that way. You are made by God in his image. You are made by him for a specific purpose. Just because we as humans have chosen to elevate and escalate certain traits that are, by the way, God-given. We don't ever, maybe not ever, but rarely, do we exalt people for their God, or for their God-given, for their personal accomplishments. We exalt people for their God-given ability. We have, you know, tens of millions of people that watch the NFL and basketball, and wow, and it's fun, and it's a rush, and Gonzaga games are awesome, and being part of a, you know, of a team is amazing, and all that stuff's okay. It just can't become your God. But remember, he says here, I set before you today life and prosperity, or death and destruction. And then he goes on, you know, he says, I command you. How do you get the life and prosperity? He says, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and keep his commandments, okay? Keep his decrees and his laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. That doesn't just apply to the Jews, folks. That applies to you. God has a destiny and a plan for every single one of us. But we've got to choose life. We've got to choose to be obedient to him. Now, it doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean you're human, not human. What God looks at is the heart. He wants your motives. He wants your heart given to him. That's what he's looking for. That's what matters. And you'll notice something here. I want you to think about this. If your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn, now listen to this and we'll talk about it. If you're drawn away to what? Bow down to other gods and worship them. I declare to you this day that you'll certainly be destroyed. You'll not live long in the land, etc. Folks, think about it. He's talking about if you bow down and worship other gods, okay? That does not mean, now, there's people that'll say, you know, if you struggle with addiction or you know, financial problems and or whatever, that you can make that a form of idolatry, okay? Well, maybe it is idolatry. I wouldn't always disagree, but there's a difference between struggling with an addiction or, you know, relational stuff or financial stuff. There's a difference between that and bowing down and worshiping another god. Do not do that. When I was studying Aikido, the guy was a Buddhist, and he would bow to Buddha, and I wouldn't do it. And I told him, I said, I'm a Christian. This is wrong. I'll learn from you, but I'm not going to do it. The guy was messed up. Over the years, I watched his life fall apart. I watched his eyes literally turn from brown to black. And he was miserable. I would try to talk to him about things, and he just was edgy. And, you know, Buddhism is supposed to be this religion of peace and harmony. But without Jesus Christ as our Savior, without the Holy Spirit, we cannot achieve the decrees and laws and precepts of God. Only that's why Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, because finally, as it says in the book of Acts, that by having the Holy Spirit, we're finally able to achieve what God wants. And like I said, you are human. Do not be ashamed. Understand God loves you. He's got a great plan for you. God works miracles. If you're struggling with this or that, you know, ask him honestly to remove that from you. There's tons of incredible, miraculous stories of God, you know, rescuing people, changing people, removing them from extreme addictions and taking away all their cravings and whatnot. This is the God we serve, the Almighty Lord of Lords. But it's got to come deep from within our heart. It's got to be absolutely sincere. And so all of a sudden, you're down to faith. Well, faith, I guess, is true. You know, I've talked about the fact that I'm not a name-it-and-claim-it guy. I don't believe that you tell God what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. I believe you live in a box, or a lot of people put God in a box that he doesn't belong into. There's numerous denominations of Christianity and so on and so forth. And he honestly probably doesn't care. He cares about our heart towards him. Simply put, that's it. And that is what I'm imploring you to do this day, is to choose life as it goes on. He says, this day I call the heavens and the earth. Think about that. Jesus Christ, God, Lord of Lords, says, this day I call the earth and the heavens. I mean, in other words, guess what that is? That's a little word we call the universe. He says, I call the universe as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. And he says, now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord's your life, and he'll give you many years in the land he swore to you, etc., etc. You know, I think of preachers that I've known over the years. Some end up with these tiny little churches that will go nowhere. You know, why is that? Is it because of their preaching? Is it because They're not all encompassing? I don't know. And then you get the Joel Osteens of the world. People hate him. I mean, I've heard so much negative, derogatory stuff, so I've listened to a bunch of his messages. They're not bad. He's a Christian motivational speaker, but it isn't his choice. He never asks for money. He's not a typical televangelist. There's some guys on TV that are just sick. I've watched them. They're sick. They're serving the devil. There's one in particular. I can't remember his name, but he's the big preacher that he goes into churches and begs for money. He looks evil to me. I know of a guy who's very well positioned in Israel, who's done tours for the Benny Hinn ministry and had three busfuls of people. And you know, he said the leaders were, and this guy's a Jew, and he said these Christian leaders were foul, and at night they were, you know, hooking up with women. They were just doing evil stuff, and it really, really appalled him. And so, you know, they may be leading. First of all, the Bible's crystal clear that if you're in ministry, you get judged with a double dose of everything. And so but like I was saying, like Joel Osteen, it goes, he's the predecessor of his father's ministry. His father at one time was kicked out of the church because he had a different philosophy on faith and whatnot. And he ended up in a feed barn church. He was doing church in a broken down feed barn for years and years, and had this tiny congregation. And eventually, after God put him through that for a number of years, why? To prepare him, to discipline him. We've talked about the word discipline in the Bible. It's the same word they use for military training. After a certain period of time, all of a sudden, boof, he started to expand his ministry and grow it and grow it and grow it. Now they're in the Compact Center in Houston, Texas, the largest church on earth. He doesn't ask for money. He makes his money from his books. It's, you know, people say, well, look at the name of his book, Your Best Self Now. Well, and people say, it doesn't say anything about God on the cover. It's like, well, read the book, you know, and some will criticize that he doesn't quote enough scripture or whatever. But the bottom line is, I've listened to him enough that I know that that's the way God made him. He's just given that gift of speech and motivation and encouragement. And, you know, the Bible says many of us have different gifts. Some are prophets, you know, some and some have the ability of encouragement or the gift and the talent of encouragement. That seems to be who he is. I'm definitely not here to defend Joel Osteen, but my point is that it took a long time. I mean, his dad had to go through a lot, and eventually his dad built a church, and then his dad that grew pretty good size. Then his dad passed away, and Joel took over, and it's grown and grown and grown, but it took generations of living for God and obeying God and being obedient to him. And I've, you know, there's a lot looking back as a parent I wish I knew. I mean, I spent a lot of time with my kids, you know, studying prophecy and Revelation and Daniel and things like that when I should have been reading the book of Proverbs to them, teaching them wisdom. Because when you take too good a care of your kids, they end up, we'll say, making some bad decisions once in a while. Or spoiled, or whatever you would like to call it. You know, Proverbs 11:17, your own soul is nourished when you are kind, but you destroy yourself when you are cruel. Think about that. Your own soul is nourished when you are kind. That's 11:17. But you destroy yourself when you're cruel. So, for some reason on my heart is the husband that mistreats his wife. Listen to that. You're destroying yourself when you're being cruel. Why do you treat your wife that way? Why do you hate her? Why do you verbally abuse her? Why do you belittle her? Why have you broken her down so she takes that stuff? Why not edify her and build her up? Do you know the more you criticize her for the things you don't like, the more broken she becomes? You need to edify your wife, lift her up, tell her how beautiful she is, tell her how much you love her. Tell her you love her countless times throughout the day. Compliment her actions. Try it. And if you try it and you can't do it, then you have to look within your own heart, because that's where the problem lies. And I know there's that situation out there. There's Christians, I mentioned earlier, the wives submit to your husbands. It's not a submission like a slave, take your beating. It's a submission like a subordinate in the military. But it's very clear. It always says, husbands, love your wives. Love is agape. It's a commitment. It's an unconditional love. It's forgiveness. It's when they break something, spill something, cook for you. You know, when they break or make mistakes, it's okay. They're human, you know. When they cook for you, thanks so much. I mean, it's a heart thing. Women want love. Men want physical activity. And the two go hand in hand. But in a lot of cases, women, you know, that's just what women are driven by, love, okay? I know a couple that's about my age, not doing real well, you know. And the bottom line is the wife blames it all on the husband. The husband hasn't changed. He's a quieter guy, but he's an absolute gentleman. He's got a heart of gold. He's just got absolute, complete and total integrity, complete loyalty to her. He travels a lot with his job. He's very, very high up in the government, a very powerful position, and he's always been loyal and very, very good to her. And, she lost her father a few years ago, and she used to talk to him every day. Even though growing up it wasn't as good as it could have been. And then once he passed, she wanted her husband to become more like her father, which he's not. He's a quieter guy, very wise when he speaks, But he's just not, he doesn't mince words. He doesn't waste words. It's just his nature. And then she began to withhold intimacy. And these are, you know, and it's just, it's had a real tough impact on him. And, you know, this is not what it's about. The Bible's very clear in marriage, folks, that you can't deny one another. It's just in physical intimacy, that is. It's absolutely the way the Bible's written. You either live for God or you don't. God doesn't care about your excuses, okay? God knows what you're going through. God knows your struggles. He knows your needs. Trust that. Obey Him. Jesus said, you know, if you're my disciples, you'll obey my commandments. See, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Everything is obey your commandments. We're reading in Deuteronomy, obey my commandments. If you want to be blessed, obey God's commandments. Now, are you perfect? Are you going to fall? Absolutely. The Bible, Proverbs tells us, the righteous falls seven times, a.k.a. infinity, but the wicked falls and gets back up, but the wicked falls down and stays down. There's so many different things I could touch on. Forgiveness. I mean, you take two people, family, non-family, whatever. They have a skiff, you know, a little disagreement or angry, whatever. You'll get people that are, that's it. They're done. No forgiveness. It's over. They walk and the relationship's ruined forever. You'll get other people that, like me, I cannot carry a grudge. I just cannot. I hate unresolved conflict. I hate injustice. And I want truth and love and purity. And I've had plenty of situations where I've had to, you know, deal with people that are just unforgiving and unloving. And those kinds of people sometimes will look for one thing. To hang on to. I know a couple where the husband would literally give a month-long silent treatment, but the wife won't talk either. It's not that she's mad, it's just that she's scared because she came from a sick background, you know, and this kind of stuff. So, folks, just live, obey Christ, live for Him, love Him, you know, pass that on to your spouse, pass that on to your friends, everywhere you go. Touch people's lives. Help the lady out with her groceries at the grocery store. You know, whatever it may be a good person. Just show them the love of Jesus Christ in your life. That is absolutely what we're talking about here. Psalm 77, I was going to go through it, but I'll go down to 11 since I'm short on time again. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord, surely I will remember the wonders of your works of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? That's Psalm 77, 11 through 13. And then it goes on, your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You've made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And then he talks about, you know, the waters saw you, O God, and they were in anguish. The deeps trembled. You know, the clouds poured out rain. The skies give forth a sound. And on we serve, and go back up to 77:11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on all your positive deeds. God is good, okay? And we are told to remember the good. Don't remember the bad. Don't talk yourself down. Don't run yourself down. You're a creation of God. The Bible tells us if you speak poorly of another person, okay, that you are mocking their maker. The same applies to yourself. So remember that. Don't talk trash about yourself. I know of a gal who I saw a thing where she lost 175 pounds And then she had her, you know, all the extra skin removed and everything. And when she was interviewed, they said, "How do you feel? Are you feeling great?" She goes, "No, not really." And she wasn't happy. And they said, "Why?" She said, "Well, I guess inside I'm always going to be fat and ugly to myself," which is true. She changed the outside, but she didn't change the inside. And the only way to change the inside, folks, is we've got to talk positive to ourselves. We've got to believe God loves us. God has good for us. We've got to obey him. Obviously, we know life or death, the good or the bad, etc. And God disciplines those he loves and all that. But we've got to talk about ourselves, to ourselves, as if we are the living children of God, okay? And also, along these lines, God is about positive. There's no scripture on negative, okay? So you don't dwell on your mistakes of the past. That's a lot easier said than done. Financially, okay, I've always got about 2 seconds to cover it. You really, honestly, are sitting in a world that is just buried in fiat currency, buried, buried, buried. A friend of mine, doctor, came in the other day, spoke to a big financial investor who explained to him the currency system globally is just tapped out. So they'll raise this currency and lower that one and move it around. Why? So people move their money back and forth all over the place so they can make massive amounts of money. That's the banking game. It's a dirty game. The bottom line is God told us what money is, okay? He told us, I don't have time to go into it right now, but from Genesis chapter 2 all the way through the Bible, gold and silver, all the way to Jesus' first gift on earth as an infant, all the way, you know, heaven's bedecked in it. God blessed his patriarchs with it. God told his people to take it with them. He told us where to get it. It's the only thing he's ever called money. He says we'll be casting it in the streets on the day of anguish or the day of his wrath. Why? Our gold and silver will be cast because it kept value until the very final day. Don't mess around. Just get it taken care of. I don't care what you got. Get it in here. Build a little portfolio. We'll build you a nice little savings account. Tuck it away. Have hard assets that are transferable, liquid, anonymous, or transportable, I should say, immediately reputable and recognized globally at any time, anywhere. We're becoming severely globalized. It is your time. This is your time now. The prices are good. The market is ready. You're buying in at a prime time, so take advantage. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. I love you much, and we'll be back soon. Bye-bye.